With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Netflix and Bill.
Let's knock this motherfucker out. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Flix and Bill. I am your host, Bill Squire, and I'm here again with the chairman of the board of Movie Squad, which is now back in session. We are back actively seeing movies. James Douglas, you know him on Instagram at TJD Studios. And we got to go into the theater to see a movie that we could have just watched at home.
Yeah, that was a choice that we got to make. I'm looking forward to making more of that same choice in the future.
Me too. I had a blast. Even though I didn't love the movie, I was still happy to see it there.
I mean, even like there weren't, obviously the theater wasn't full or anything like that, but there were still other people in there, and there were a few moments when something happened and it was like, oh, and you could like, you know, that I missed that little bit of, I don't know, what do you call that shit? Just experiential experience with other people like watching something that we all love.
And I think like there were a few moments where things happened and you kind of tried to get people to like cheer and it didn't really happen the first time. But by the end of the movie, they were like participating in there, you know.
Yeah.
We got some good moments. We saw Mortal Kombat and we got the crowd to participate, which, you know, it's one like in the past when movies ended and people would clap at the movies, people were like, oh, that's lame. No one's like, but you know what? Those days are over. We are in a new time, and showing appreciation in group settings is all the fucking rage now.
Right. Everybody needs to support each other right now. We all need the support.
Yes. And we need to participate together. And that's what made going to see this movie so fun is you saw the highs and lows of the film.
Numerous of both.
Yes. There were some great moments and some real lame moments. And that was like, overall, really wasn't the worst. I mean, it's a Mortal Kombat movie, so I'm not expecting a ton, but it's one of those things where I was really let down by just like having a decent story. Like, you can do so much. Like, you don't have to have it be all complicated. Let the characters actually develop personalities. I don't know if you need to put so many characters in the game or you need to have so many characters be like lead characters. Make it, you know, make it like a Suicide Squad where there's 30 years of Mortal Kombat characters to pull from. Let's have some fun and let them die.
Yeah, you're not running low on source material in a movie like this. I mean, bringing out a scene stealing Kano. Oh yeah, spoilers ahead, obviously.
Oh yeah,
a scene stealing Kano and how incredible he was, even the actor and the jokes, and then how, you know, he just kept on drawing everybody's attention and then just like nixing him like that. I'm like, yo, you need to have a Kano backstory movie with him and Cabal. Like, Cabal was in it, like, how did he get that crazy mask on his face?
Yeah.
Why is he fighting for the other world? Like, these Australian dudes, like, there's so many, like, you know, rivalries that you could explore the origin of, just like in the first 10 minutes that they gave away with Sub-Zero and Scorpion. Like, that's the movie that needed to happen before this one.
Right. You know?
And what was the very beginning, Sub-Zero, like right as he kills Hanzo, whatever, or kills Scorpion.
Yeah.
You know, he says, for Lin Kuei. And it's like, I think I looked over at you and I was like, who the fuck is Lin Kuei? Like,
maybe his wife. I don't remember. Oh, I think it's his brother.
His brother, like, I get it. I assume it was someone important to him, because why would you say that as to your mortal enemy as someone was dying? But like, yeah, like that didn't hold much weight to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have if they had developed that person, or even just a flashback of some kind.
Give us some context for it all, and I'm sure that they're, you know, again, let's focus on some of the good things before we get into the things that, because we could go on and on about the shit that they fucked up. But that opening scene with Scorpion and Sub-Zero was a fucking great fight scene. Like, the fight scenes some of them were a little bit hasty, but the ones where they really wanted to take their time and let those characters do some stuff, they had some great choreography.
I think they nailed a lot of, they did a really good job of balancing the, like, you know, the side scrolling one-on-one fight style of like Mortal Kombat, mm-hmm. the traditional, like we all want to see that one-on-one fight stuff. They did a great job of balancing that with like brawl style, like, or just understanding that someone was going to have to leave the arena at that point. So it was only going to be like two people fighting, but like, there's a reason that the one guy would ducked out, you know?
Yeah. And it did have a, like that scene especially had a very classic Kung Fu film feel, which was nice to set up the universe a bit. And just that, the whole like gardening tool tied to the rope, using that to kill all those ninjas was fucking fantastic.
Oh yeah, and did it in classic Mortal Kombat fashion. Like, you stab someone with that thing, it's like there would never be that much blood that fast, but in Mortal Kombat there sure is.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah. So then you get into where the movie slows down as soon as you meet the main character Cole, who I didn't even know.
Yeah, who?
Yeah,
who?
He was invented for the movie, and he was the boringest character. Like,
right? You go ahead.
Well, they just had this guy that, like, he's like a down on his luck MMA fighter, which, like, that's, but like, give him some backstory so that we can cheer for him, because just watching him lose his first fight in an empty MMA fight, like, that's not gonna get us on his side. Show his dominant years where he was a fucking badass, and then maybe be like, you know, 15 years later, 10 years later, here he is kind of sucking it up. It's just these simple things you can do in a film that, although maybe cliche, they do help build up a character.
Right. And there's a reason for those things. And like, just inventing what I would just call a bag of exposition to walk around through this universe is useful, but there's a way more delicate way to do it. Like, he just walks around. All he does is like, wait, what's going on? And then someone explains it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wow, that's crazy. I don't understand why this person. Well, someone can explain that to him as well. And it's like, oh God, everybody just explains things. He's just the audience surrogate, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those,
yeah.
When you watch the original Mortal Kombat, it, like, Raiden is that, you know, that walking bag of composition. Exposition. Yeah. Just like setting everything up and telling everybody where they need to be and like what everything's about. But also they gave each person a motivation that was about their own pride, versus this one starts right off with like, we have to save the universe, or we have to save the world. And I like the buildup of like, you know, Sonya Blade's there to prove herself for whatever reason, to get revenge against Kano, or, you know,
She had the best arc out of anybody.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah, because she didn't have a mark.
Right, and she was looking for the one guy. She was looking for the one guy that had the mark, and then Kano got to him first, and so he has the mark that she should have, and then like that whole, you know,
right. Their arc.
That small story plot was much more compelling than, you know, what should have been the main character's relationship to his ancient father that was, you know, murdered by Sub-Zero. But then there's like, he's like, I never knew my bloodline. I didn't know anything about this. Like, how do you not know about this? Raiden pulled your ancestor out of the floorboards and decided to not tell you anything about it.
Not keep an eye on things. Like, come on, Raiden, you're really dropping the ball here. Very absentee stepfather. And also like, you're not putting, like, Scorpion wasn't in Mortal Kombat. Like, give us the tournament. That's what I want. I like the tournament. I like them showing up, sizing up the other fighters, talking the shit, and getting to that point. And then we get these one-on-one fights where, like, they're fighting and watching their, you know, colleagues die. Like, that's a great way to do it. Like, you know, you got some that are going to win, some that aren't going to win. But, like, do an actual tournament. Like, show me the bracket. I'm down with that. Give me that Bloodsport feel.
I was literally about to say Van Damme and Bloodsport when his buddy got killed, like, punched in the head on the floor. I was like, damn. And then you had the emotional response from the main characters. and it gives them that motivation mm-hmm. to go and kick ass, not just the it's your bloodline, it's your destiny. It's like, it's, all right, that's yeah. just a lazy, it's lazy writing.
It's very lazy know? Writing. And also, and again, the other way is not exactly the most original way to do it. But again, I'm okay with cliches in movies like this. You don't have to have the original storyline. What you have to have is the dynamic personalities. It's the right, same. Right. It's what Marvel gets right. Mm-hmm. Marvel, nothing super complicated in the Marvel universe. But what they do is they let these simple storylines play out with very dynamic characters. And that's where things get fun. Like, you got to stop a bad guy. That's, you know, you got to get this MacGuffin from the bad guy. You got to get it before they do. Whatever the Marvel movie is, always very basic. But the way it plays out is exciting because you're invested in the characters.
Right. They could do anything. Like, they could run a red light and you're like, ooh.
Yeah,
you know, because you love them and you want them to be safe. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this had, there's so much of this had none of that. But I don't know. I'm so torn because I love watching Kung Lao cut that chick in half.
Oh, yeah. Know?
Because, and I loved watching Kano rip some dude's heart out because I was watching this movie as a 10-year-old kid mm-hmm. who, you know, left, right, up, down, jump. Like, you know, I still like have like the muscle memory to yeah. do the fatalities. So like, I'm so torn to have like a MCU or whatever kind of universe created around the mythology of this. And I just want to watch people get their arms ripped off. It's like, it's
right now. And, but I'm saying like, that's what they can put that stuff in there. Like Jack's doing his fatality with the head clap. That was fucking awesome. Everybody cheered at that yeah. moment. Because it was like we were all waiting for it. And mm-hmm. and also, like, give us those moments that we want. Like, Goro gets killed by Cole, and that sucked because Goro is one of the best, most iconic characters in Mortal Kombat, and we didn't get to see him pull anybody's arms off.
Right. He didn't even try. And, like, I feel like even what's his phone, Cole got his little superpower thing with his little golden vest, which, I'm not going to do that.
It was trash.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
And it's like, but he could have even like tried to pull his arms off. And that would have been like a moment where we, as the audience, would have been like, oh, is he going to, and you know,
oh, he couldn't get him. Yeah.
He couldn't pull him off. So it's like this, then we kind of know the more limitations of this guy's golden suit, mm-hmm. I guess that he wears, but he doesn't have a helmet, which is like,
Right. Exactly. You're very vulnerable still.
Very like vulnerable.
This chest armor, but your head's just exposed. But it's, also,
does it have a cup?
Yeah.
How low does it go? What does it protect? Wait, so that thing wrapped over here around his whole body. That thing wrapped up his junk.
I'm guessing that is junk, but I don't know.
But did it wrap it up individually? You know.
Oh like, yeah, so wrapped, it's like a nice.
Didn't it wrap his fingers?
Like a fruit basket. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, was it custom fitted?
Mm-hmm. And also. Oh, God. If that's the way they're going to go, I think it diminishes some of the other characters. Like Kung Lao having those special abilities, like his ability ended up being a hat. Like,
right. So he was Captain America instead of holding a shield. He was,
yeah.
His shield was his hat.
You just, yeah, Japanese or Chinese Captain America with a razor right, on the edge of it, which is cool because we got that great fatality out of it. But then he gets like unceremoniously. There were some weird cuts in that, like where they just didn't have a great editor where it's like some things happen real fast and other things happen like scenes that take way too long. And then just like some things just like, and that's the end of the dialogue for that scene. And we're just like in another place.
Yeah. You know, but I feel like that was totally the case, except every time that Kano was on screen, when this dialogue ended, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And they murked him and we're like, God damn it. You guys, they give up their best character mm-hmm. in the whole movie.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like Kano had such a good personality that like, I feel like they spent all their time writing Kano. And then like, we didn't give a fuck about Jax. We didn't give a fuck about Cole. We didn't give like Sonya a little bit, but like only because she had interactions with Kano. Liu Kang and Kung Lao were literally just there for fighting. Like they didn't do like, there was no personality developed.
Right. And the relationship was literally one line of dialogue. Oh, it's good to see you, cousin. And it's yeah. like, oh, so now we need to like feel for you two because you're Cousins? Like, what the F?
It just
felt, I don't know if it was rushed, because it clearly wasn't rushed. Yeah. Because it was supposed to come out, like, what, 3 months ago initially, and they only came out a few months later?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's just like, it was, okay, the movie started off on this high point of, like, this amazing feudal Japan ninja versus kung fu, you know, battle.
Yeah.
And it was gory and beautiful. It was even lit beautifully.
Yeah.
And then it just went straight downhill into, like, CGI. Here's a giant fight pit that our production crew built with sand in the bottom of it. We're going to spend 45 minutes in this oval doing, you know, just fighting each other and then fighting other bad guys. Here's one line of dialogue.
The production value being as high as it was, but not being spent on writing and storytelling and actual, like, plot, which, again, you don't need a crazy complicated plot. You need simple, you know, draw from the other movies like this that are enjoyable, from the blood sports, from the, you know, the kickboxers. You, like, follow that, those very basic archetypes, and right, make your movie that.
Right. And it's, and there is a formula, and, like, yeah, there's all these things about movies being, you know, like, how to make a blockbuster, do these certain, like, follow these steps and you will be successful. And I feel like they ignored a great number of those general rules, much to their detriment. They, like, you know, even the villains, like, you know, quote unquote villains, like, they develop a villain. It's not, yeah, it's really not hard to develop a villain. Like, Shang Tsung is the head boss guy, and we're just like, okay, he and Raiden, like, are, what do they hate? They hate each other? Okay, cool.
Yeah, and also, like, they hate each other, and also, like, what's his motivation for wanting to take over Earth? Why is Earth so special? Why is Outworld such a dump? Like, explain all that. You know, it's like, Outworld, whenever they show it in any of the games or anything, it's always this place where it's just ruins everywhere. Like, why not?
Right. It's like Southwest Utah.
Like, give us some, you know, some basic bad guy exposition to let us know why this guy is bad for the human race.
Right. I mean, I guess it's sucking souls, and the humans have more souls.
You know? Yeah, I mean, that, but that's, like, his personal motivation. But I mean, yeah, like, what benefit does he get from having those souls? Where do the souls go? Like, there's a lot you can play with on this. And I feel like, again, that might make it a little too complicated. We don't have to see exactly where the souls go. We just know he's got the souls. But I mean, that's something that they did in the first Mortal Kombat, the original movie, was Liu Kang's brother was killed by Shang Tsung, and he took his soul. So, like, that was his motivation.
Was to literally go get his brother's soul back.
Yes.
Yeah. Am I crazy? I feel like I might be crazy, but they had so much time. They did it. It just the whole thing just felt like they're trying to do what DC did with Justice League, where they're just, everybody, they need their what do you call it? They need their profits. They need them now. They need to get as fast as possible to the team up movie, and, you know, villains be damned. You know, whatever exposition, but, like, all the stuff that we want to see, the movies that we want to see, like, they give the movie going public a little bit more credit, give us a few solo films, and then the team up. We are all conditioned to do that.
Yeah. Like, and we appreciate it. So, yeah, if you do, like, Mortal Kombat, The Legend of Liu Kang, and then, like, you know, Mortal Kombat, give me a Johnny Cage movie, and then they all come together. I think that would be the way to go too. Like, that would be a very fun way to watch this all come together. I
mean, the fact that Sub-Zero is still alive, so that makes him was still alive from the 1600s until now.
Yeah, like, 500 years old. Let's see what that's.
What has he been doing? Just sitting on his fucking dick this entire time, just waiting for someone to the bloodline to come back. Like, what are you talking about? Like, also, he's been an assassin for this long. You know, he's been involved in other world conflicts. like other explained, like inexplicable phenomena. It snowed in Dubai in July or something like that. And it's like, oh, but then some guy got killed there. And it's like a cool, like subplot X and whatever story.
Yeah. And also let's fix his costume a bit, because he's one of those guys that looks so good in the games, but whatever they did, I feel like don't tone down his blue, let his blue pop. I'm all about that.
Like a nice cerulean, you know?
Yeah. Let it pop. Let it look good. Let it, you know, like have some fun with it. You don't have to make everything so like heavy and bulky. I feel like they went a little too Zack Snyderverse on their costuming, which is like he does everything with like real heavy thick armor, which I get because they're warriors, but at the same time, let's do something that's a little more functional, and you know, we can have fun with it. And one thing that I think benefits movies like this, I think this one, because it was, you know, delayed for so long, a lot of people got to watch it and say and make little tweaks. And I think that probably fucked it up. It's too many cooks in the kitchen kind of situation. And I think when you have a movie that works, it's a lot of times it's the little films that could that set the standard for these. So like Deadpool worked really well because they're like, okay, make this movie. We're going to give you a very limited budget. And then because they have to work within those limitations, you get a movie that's actually pretty decent because they're not relying on CGI or a bunch of, you know, people that have to put their mark on the movie. There's not all these producers that are like, oh, well, we got to do this or we got to do this. When let people make a movie.
Yeah, we had to do this because my cousin is good at whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the death of so many Hollywood movies happened because of that shit.
Like, you look at a movie like John Wick, like that movie worked because it was simple. Like, let's just...
This unpopular opinion. I don't think John Wick 2 or John Wick 3 should have existed.
I'm kind of with you on that.
I think that movie was perfect.
They were fun, but they were very unnecessary, and they kind of diminished what John Wick was.
Right. I mean, that's the second time Keanu Reeves. I think The Matrix should have been a single movie as well.
I just wish The Matrix, because I really like The Matrix Reloaded for the most part. The CGI does not hold up very well, but the third one just really makes it, it takes it from a fun science fiction place to like a really like a bummer of a science fiction place.
Right. It's like, okay, I guess we're all still like horrible people living in like Zion underground. Yeah.
It's not
the
fun.
World still sucks. Like, what? Are they supposed to go back up to the surface? No. Anyway, but back to the Sub-Zero chunkiness.
Yeah.
Back to letting the characters be themselves from the game. Like, it's a movie about a video game. Don't shy away from it. Lean into it.
Right.
Like, there's a talking raccoon in the Avengers. They didn't turn it. Rocket into like a raccoon like humanoid character who had raccoon tendencies.
This is who Rocket is, and everyone's gonna deal with it,
right? And like, you know, Sub-Zero, his entire thing, like, yeah, he has ice, but it's it's yellow versus blue,
right?
In this movie, it's, I guess, gold versus gray or grayish, yeah, like navy gray, I guess. Like, where's my blue? Yeah, where's my scorpion blue?
Give us a color palette. It's okay. We like it.
Or, we don't mind it at all.
Because then you get this final fight scene in this frozen gym, and it's just, yeah, like the contrast is literally like dark characters fighting in a white background. It's like you could have had such, and like even like freezing the gym, you could have made it look cool. Ice can look really fucking cool, and they just went real basic and white with it,
right? And it's another one of those things where it's the production thing. It's like, all right, we have this gym, we built this gym, we used it for the beginning scene, let's mm-hmm. save some money, coat the thing in ice, maybe no one will realize it's the exact same fucking place.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we all know, like, you know, at least us movie buffs, and also you're never gonna please us movie folk, because we're always going to nitpick everything.
Well, we're going to nitpick things, but also like we know the simple things, and it's like, how do we know this stuff? But people in Hollywood don't know this stuff. Like these little things that are what makes, like, you know, like you said, like what makes a blockbuster.
Right.
Like don't be afraid of the source material. The source material is your guide. It is not your hindrance.
It's the reason that we're all here. Mm-hmm. We're not here for your movie. We're here to watch my old obsession come to life. Yes. I don't care about what you think it should be. No, bring my shit back to life.
Yeah, it's, and they just always, you know, and again, I think Warner Brothers, too many cooks in the kitchen is seems to be their biggest problem, because there's just so many people that have to justify their jobs, and so they go, well, we got to change this, and all they keep doing is cutting their own dick off rather than letting people enjoy the stuff that they want. You have all these incredible properties and you just keep fucking them up.
Right. And they spent, yeah. And like they have all of, I forget, I was reading something, they have all of Mortal Kombat. It's like,
yeah,
they literally have the entire, they can do anything they want. They have all the rights to everything. And they
use
this
it.
Is the first, use it, use all of it. This is the
and
first
take your one time, yeah. Be patient you with know? It. Like enjoy, like create a Mortal Kombat universe if that's what you're going to do. And do it in a way, like follow what the MCU did. You've got the guide. You've got Harry Potter gave us a good guide on how to make a franchise. Mm-hmm. There's so many successful franchises. Why do you keep trying to reinvent the wheel when, you know, you,
well, it's they're impatient. They're so impatient. If it is Warner Brothers, Universal, they're just so impatient.
But why be so impatient? If you show patience and develop your characters, you make so much more money than if you fart out a quick movie just to try and get a buck.
And it's not to say that like all the movies will be, you know, smash hit,
yeah,
successful, whatever. I am more than certain that the Liu Kang backstory movie will not do as well as the Scorpion versus Sub-Zero movie. That's because of the popularity of the characters. Scorpion and Sub-Zero versus like, or the backstory of those two is more compelling than, you know, how did Liu Kang get so good at Kung Fu? And it's like, all right, let's do a Johnny Cage movie and set it all in LA. But like that one still, that would do some really cool shit. I mean, that'd be really fun, really different location. But a Sub-Zero movie in feudal Japan would be so much fucking better.
Yeah. And again, if you just take it and you make them all their own thing, like they did with the MCU, where you go, okay, so what's Liu Kang's movie going to be? It's going to be a journey of redemption. What's Johnny Cage? He is trying to prove himself. Sub-Zero and Scorpion, it's a revenge movie. So you have all these different movies that you can model them after and go with that, you know?
Right.
A Johnny Cage movie would be incredible if it's him just grappling. He's got everything he wants, but what he really wants is people to see him as a real fighter. And then he starts killing people to prove it. Yeah, like you can make a fucking great movie out of that.
Like it almost starts off in that. Go ahead.
Imagine if there was like, we found out that Jean-Claude Van Damme, the reason he stopped making movies in like 1997 is because he just started entering street fights and killing people. Amazing.
I'd be here for that for sure.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking you start off the Johnny Cage thing, like a cocky motherfucker, like started off like Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah. You know?
But then instead of like begging the ancient one for like for the knowledge, Cage is just like, I'm tired of all this bullshit, freaking fake stunt double stuff. Let's go get the real thing. And then just start. Then he realizes he's just nasty.
Yeah.
You know, and he just starts going ham. And then eventually on his route, he meets that brick wall that he's got to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And as he fights that brick wall, his Kakana, what do they call it, this thing when they get their little power?
I don't even remember. Something like that.
But when they get there, but you know, he's just goes through, he goes just murks all these fighters that he has like no real business fighting, just destroys them, hits that brick wall, and he loses his fight. And then his whatever thing shows up, and that lets him beat it. And then it's like, okay, now we have Johnny Cage established, a cocky piece of shrimp. And love that I censor myself now, but not earlier. But, you know, and he is now full-fledged, full-grown thing that him and Cole can link up in the next movie.
Yeah.
But now you have to have Cole go find Johnny Cage.
So if you work for Warner Brothers and you listen to this, just go ahead and write us a check now. We'll flesh out the rest of the movies for you. We got it all figured out. And I haven't even played Mortal Kombat in I don't know how many years, and I still feel like I could have written a better movie than that.
Well, nothing from the recent years is in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really like one of the characters, the bat. I don't remember who the bat lady was who got
cut. I know who the bat lady was. I didn't know who the dude with the big sledgehammer was. I kind of tapped out at like Mortal Kombat 3. That's where I was up to.
I think I got to like 4 or 5. But I mean, you know, we didn't. But here's the moral of the story: is we didn't need to know who they were,
right?
Because they didn't matter. They're just red shirts. And okay, cool, thanks.
And you got a bunch of them, so use them.
Yo, actually, here's a funny fact. Or not funny fact, but funny thing. Do you remember Cole's? Did you remember until like just now? Because I'm watching it as we speak. That Cole's wife and kid were in this movie.
Oh yeah, I know. Because they were like frozen totally during the fight scene at the end, and they were attacked by Goro, and they had no idea why any of this stuff was happening because they weren't there for any of the explanation. There's just all of a sudden a giant four-armed monster trying to kill your dad, and then you are transferred to this gym where you're frozen by a 600-year-old ninja.
Because they had to manufacture stakes. Yeah. You know, and we talked about that's the one thing that you and I are always like have our biggest problem is like the actual stakes need to occur. And then at the freaking end, Shang Tsung comes by and he just smokes all the characters. So nobody actually died. And you know, there's no stakes, there's no nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing matters. Nothing whatever. Like they go back and they smoke Goro with his forearms and his guts all hanging out.
Yeah.
And but okay, so he got it's like getting dusted in Endgame. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well then if you got dusted, you're not actually dead, so you can come back. But then what the fuck?
But again, if you're gonna make that the case, then bring back Kung Lao and kill a few more good guys and let them come back too. If we're gonna play that game, let Raiden have that kind of power. All right. So anyway, Mortal Kombat, it's worth watching. Whatever. It's just dumb.
I'm glad it was on HBO Max.
Yeah, I do like being able to see it in the theater, then watch it and pick it apart again and again. Next week we're going to be doing a super episode where we're going to dig into Falcon and Winter Soldier, and have some other guests on with us, and it's going to be a lot of fun. In the meantime, like, share, subscribe, check out the Bill Squire Show, and follow James on Instagram at TJD Studio.
Yep.
All right, that's all.
Netflix and Bill.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.